Yeah. It's that coming up from the bottom. Day one, dollar zero type shit. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a boss, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day, y'all. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a boss, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day, y'all. Turn your baby mama crib into a stash spot. And we moving more aggressive than the last shot. Hieroglyphics and black Jesus was my backdrop. My daddy was a player in the 80s selling crack.
What's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
Getting gangster up in here, man.
I just,
that was like, that was the whitest shit I've ever said. Getting gangster up in here, man.
Yeah, bro.
I need to not do that again.
I was visualizing turning my baby mama's house into a stash spot. Like, what am I stashing there? Cars.
Yeah.
Definitely stashing cars.
Definitely
there.
Some guns. Some drugs.
Eli, what the fuck,
it's
bro?
It's a stash spot. What else do you stash at a stash spot?
No, it's saying the G word when algorithms are like, they're audio
right,
now.
That's right. We can say, we'll say drugs.
They're audio-tistic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that means?
I can imagine what it means.
I'm making it up. It means the algorithm can hear us.
There
not,
we go.
It's no it longer can. Just what you type. It's like what it can hear.
Dude,
I just heard you say guns. Now I got people coming to my fucking house.
I was just
coming
in
for my, guns, which means now I got
to
hunt.
I was just in my phone just now. And I was looking up. I typed like notes, like to search my notes.
Yeah.
And then it pulled up an image of a screenshot of some text that I had, and it highlighted the word notes in it. That's crazy.
Incredible.
That's crazy.
I do like it, though, man. I know a lot of people get mad when their phones track them or listen to them, but it's really cool when I'm like, if I see something online and I like it or I search it, and I start seeing advertisements on my social media, because then I'll look at 4, 5, 6 different companies.
Yeah, that's how they're getting away with it, because it's kind of convenient.
Well, dude, and like full disclosure, I feel like I have to be, you know, transparent. It's like underwear for my wife.
Yeah, that's
okay. Dude, I'm like, you look up one thing to like get him something, and then like I got her some Tommy John's because I wear Tommy John. They're like super comfortable.
They have those for women?
They do. Oh, they do okay. Now. But now all these other brands are popping up, and I'm like, yeah, she'd look good in that. And that, and that. We have like weekly underwear deliveries.
You know
deliveries.
What they need though? They need a button where you can say like, hey, I already bought this shit. I'm done. Because what happens if you're like looking at toilet seats, for example, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to keep on buying fucking toilet seats. It's like, hey, I already found the one, man. Like,
that's
chill.
True. I think I only keep seeing them because like, even if I don't want to dive in and shop right that moment, I'll like it or love the post.
Yeah.
Because then I know like it'll recognize that and it'll
even if you're staying on it for like 4 seconds, it's like he's looking at this shit.
He's a panty dropper.
Yeah,
he's a panty shopper.
Yeah, he is.
I like it, man.
So
excited.
Yeah, good little topic today, man. It's good to be back. We're getting back in a weekly groove.
Yeah, I was in Arizona. I spoke at a like a business conference, leadership conference for real estates. Two different days, two different audience, same venue, but two different audiences. One was for like your independent agents, you know, that are just, you know, still at that level as far as like just themselves and production. Mm-hmm. And that was super cool. And then we got into leadership for more like your top 1% producers and guys that have a big network. A couple guys there had like thousands and they're down in their network. And it was super cool to pour into them. And it was, man, you know, what's really refreshing is how, man, the real estate community in general has just been super, just open and welcoming of my story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean like my story of like I'm special or different. I'm not, but just like from my military career and police work and what translates from that into real estate. Like people are so open and warming and welcoming with that, and it like it just makes you want to pour into them. But it's cool. But like the flip side of that is when I'm not speaking, I'm paying attention and I'm watching other guys present. I'm speaking and picking the brain of Curtis, who put this event on in the first place, and he's well over 6,000 people in his network now, so he's leading a lot of people, and it was really cool how he embraced, you know, everything that I had to say, and but it was great to see how he throws events. It was and just some of the topic points that he had were very relevant for you and I, you know. So it's cool when you get to go pour in and teach while also, man, I could have been there as a spectator and just taken a lot from that.
Yeah. Well, dude, what I think is interesting about real estate, man, and I mean probably a factor into why it's like just so refreshing to hear someone like you, is because this is the industry where it's so easy to fucking fake it. Mm-hmm. It's so easy where almost not easy, but almost the norm to where people get their real estate license and they come in and then they,
yeah,
they, as I did, lease the fucking BMW and they're wearing, yeah, their stupid suits and stuff. And it's, yeah, like, it's so
only a stupid suit if you don't feel like you,
correct,
should be in it.
Correct. Yeah.
It was,
yeah,
cool because we, you know, Curtis talked about people's cover story.
Oh.
And it's really like, hey, what do you say to others and what do you say to yourself that prevents you from like moving forward? Like, mm-hmm, oh, I'm not good at recruiting, you know, like I'm a this, and like you put these labels on yourself, and it's more from an insecurity, it's more, mm-hmm, from an unknown than a you're actually not that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I'm not a good swimmer.
Yeah.
But could you be a good swimmer?
Right, right.
You know, or like I was talking to my baby mama this morning. She works full time.
The stash house.
Nope, we were in the stash.
Oh,
I was
gotcha,
talking.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, but she was talking about, you know, she writes code and builds websites and like smart people shit, right? And so she's doing that, working full time. She's doing like a grad program for math. Ew.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, yeah, in it, man. She's, thank, motivated. You. And then like, you know, she's a mom. And so she's crushing. Context. But she's got an exam today and she's like, I'm just a little nervous. And like, I just want to make sure I studied enough. And like, you know, like I get this like test anxiety. And I'm like, you don't, have you ever seen someone with test anxiety? Like, you do not have test anxiety. Like, mm-hmm, you have what we all have. More importantly, though, is, hey, when you're putting a label to that, you're giving yourself an out to not do as good as you could.
Mm-hmm.
And you're almost like just this precursor of like setting yourself up for failure, or accepting something less than you'd like, versus like just removing the emotional side of it and just preparing and then executing, you know, and like, mm-hmm, compartmentalizing some of those feelings and, mm-hmm, putting it to the side to make sure that you focus and having composure and poise in those moments. And I promise you, man, because we're going to get into the actual subject for today. So this, mm-hmm, is me like, mm-hmm, alley-ooping you for your, mm-hmm, topic. It was your topic today. while I was at this conference, met a gentleman. I can't remember his last name, but he's a Major League Baseball all-star, played for the Reds for a handful of years, mm-hmm, and a couple other teams. Stud baseball player, you know, all-star. Mm-hmm. I think he played for like 12 or 15 years and really good dude. In something that we were really vibing on for business, very similar to like athletics and, you know, military stuff, military operations, police operations. We were talking about like him, he played third base. And we were talking about like just, you know, like that ground ball that comes down the third baseline and him having to backhand that ball, you know, mm-hmm, step and get his front shoulder in right position and make a throw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of times, millions, trillions of times. But to do that, in a playoff game or in a World Series game when you're only up by one run and you got a runner on second and third base with two outs, if that ball gets down the line, not only does the guy from third base score, so does the guy from second base.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're the visiting team? What if it's the bottom of the ninth and if that guy on second base scores, the game's over? So a hard ground ball, you know, 2-3 hopper comes down the line on third base.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to position yourself and backhand that ball and then make a throw to first base. It's something that you've done millions of times. But to do it on that stage in front of that audience with those factors on the line and to be able to compartmentalize the emotional side to it and focus on that task, right? And then just execute. Dude, you're high speed, man. Like, mm-hmm, the composure and poise that you need in that moment. That's where people start separating themselves from the pack,
mm-hmm,
right? Like,
mm-hmm,
a Tom Brady. There's, you know, guys in business, and it starts with, like, the little things, mm-hmm, right? Like, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, right? Like, I know you want to talk about, mm-hmm, financial stuff, mm-hmm, and relationship stuff about, like, hey, if you can't handle it at this level, if you can't handle $5, how are you going to handle $5 million, mm-hmm, kind of thing? But, mm-hmm, a lot of it is, it's not just being able to handle it. It's like, okay, what am I doing with it? Where am I investing it? Where am I putting it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But my side of like when you were talking to me about the topic today, it was like what rang true was like the compartmentalization of the emotional side and just being able to execute, mm-hmm, you know, and it's the behaviors around like, okay, I make 500 grand a year or I make 100 grand a year. Where do you go? How do you go from 100 grand a year to 500 grand a year? How are you acting? Right? What's your behavior? What do you,
the
you
muscle
know?
Memory in a way.
And just the emotional side, yeah, to being able to handle more and make better decisions and having that right composure, right? So hopefully, yeah, that ollie oops you, because contrary to popular belief, you do have ideas.
I do have some ideas. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I think today, man, it kind of came to mind from a lot of things, from fitness, from finance, from business, from social media, you know, and I think it's one of those things that can apply to literally everything, so we can talk about, you know, however it applies. But it's that concept of, man, it's so easy to always look at the million. I want a million followers. I want $1 million. You know, we throw a huge arbitrary number onto something that we want, and we neglect what we already have, right? The 100 followers that you do have, the $1,000 in your bank account that you have managed to save up. And the thing is, like, most people, they don't have systems and processes and a way to get from 100 to 150, or from 100 followers to 200 followers. Yet they somehow think that they're just magically going to end up with a million. Same with your finances, you know?
Well, and so here's my other thing too, right? It's like, what got you where you are right now is not necessarily going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Okay, so whatever tactic you have for saving money and putting it away and then it created this, like, it might not work at scale. Like, that's why, like, fundamentally gaining skill sets and executing on them should be there. So, like, when you and I have, you know, and it was just you and I, but you and I preparing ourselves to execute as realtors and creating systems and processes, like, prepared us for that next step ahead of running a team. We weren't necessarily prepared to run the team right away, but we also didn't have to be. We were in a moment of, like, operating and just executing with ourselves. But when it came time for a team, we were then prepared. And, like, my biggest thing, man, is, like, as far as, like, visualizing things, it reminds me, it sounds super simple, but it makes sense in my brain. Like, if we're here, down here at the Pullman, right, and it's nighttime, it's dark outside. I can't, not only is it, can I not see my home because it's dark, there's buildings in the way, I can't see my home. I can't see where I want to go. But I pull out from under the building and I've got my headlights on. I can see 200 feet in front of me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't see my home, but it's like, you don't necessarily have to see that. But I can see 200 feet in front of me as far as, cool, and then as I keep driving and I go 200 feet, I can see the next 200 feet. And I go that 200 feet, oh, here comes the highway. I got to merge. I got to bang a left. I got to bang a right. Red light, green light. Hey, I got to speed up and triple down to get into this lane. Hey, I got to slow down and pump the brakes. Oh, hey, there's an accident. So I've got to, like, I got to run an audible. I got to go onto this road, bang a left and go up here. And then, hey, get back on the highway at a later time. Like, all of these decisions that we're making while driving, you don't know everything in advance. But you know enough, and you're taking enough information to get you that next step.
And you have a game plan and some tools. You're like, hey, I'm going to get in a vehicle. I have headlights. It's dark, but okay, the lights allow me to see up here.
You know how to drive a car.
Yep.
You know how to use your turn signal. You know how to speed up. You know how to slow down. That's just being fundamentally sound in your craft, right? Like, so if you're doing real estate, whatever your business is, whatever your profession is, you should be a professional at your craft. And then there, it's like you've got a skill set to navigate and make those decisions. And
and implement a process. And I think that's where a lot of people fuck up, is they don't have, and dude, this was me my entire adult life
until
2 years ago.
Financial, I swooped in. I literally carried you.
Pretty much.
You know, baby style.
He did. But man, like, I, for how many financial struggles I had, and for how lofty my financial goals were, I was so overwhelmed with just being broke as shit that I couldn't even imagine managing my broke as shit money.
And you're good at saving money. You're good at
I'm not.
Well, you're better than me.
I'm not.
You like pay your taxes, so you're already ahead of me.
Barely, bro. That's new.
You know, but like, you also have to be true to yourself, right? Like, for me, making more money makes more sense in my brain more than saving money.
Because that's what I had to do at the moment.
Right. Like,
yeah, that's like,
yeah, like, okay, saving money, and I could put it in a 401k over here. Or I could this, like, now putting money into real estate, of course, that makes sense to me. And I think that's just our forte. But I love that Conor McGregor video when he's like, I have an unhealthy habit with spending money.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Or I have an unhealthy relationship or whatever with spending money, but I have a healthy relationship with making money.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it all works out. Yeah. Like, I always get a kick out of that because it's like, man, yeah, there's some expenses I have, or there's there's, you know, there's purchases that I make. And, like, first and foremost, I don't bet the house on anything, right? So, like, my home, my stability with my family and things like that are always first and foremost. You know, you know, but, like, hey, I'll buy a certain car, or then we'll have some fun. And it's like, but it's motivating, man. Like, so, for example, let's talk about my watch for a second, right? I've got a couple of watches, but I've got one that I bought first. That's, like, my daily, and it's a Rolex Deep Sea, right? Sea Dweller. Really nice watch, right? Like, I wanted something to give my son one day other than all my guns. And I'll say that, since he already dimed me out in all my guns. Because I wanted him to have something from dad. Yeah, I wanted, but guess. I wanted him to have something from me that like he could actually take out on him or have with him. And whether it's one day when I pass away or, you know, I want to give it to him on his wedding day or the day he becomes a father, whatever it is, it'll be the right moment. And we were looking for like 8-9 months for this thing, man. And like our buddy Gavin and Brett helped me out with it. They're big art and watch connoisseurs, and they put their heads together. We ended up just a super rare find to even find one available, and we got it. And remember that day, dude? I wired the money for it. Mm-hmm. After we, man, 8-9 months. The day I wired the money, you and I were filming out YouTube out on the golf course, out in like Parker, wherever it was, and I saw the anniversary of Calvin's death, and I remembered like, hey, that's the same day I found out we were pregnant with Cash. Mm-hmm. And like all these things fell into place. Like, wait, did I just wire the money for the watch that I want to give my son one day on the same day to the date 3 years later of when we found out we were pregnant with him? I just thought that was so cool. And like, dude, when I wear it, yeah, I think of that. When I travel, I have it. I'm like, man, like I'm going to give this to my son one day. And like, I've gone here, I've gone there, I've been here, mm-hmm. I've been there, I've been with this person, I've been with that person. Like, I've done these meetings, I've done this commission deal, I've done that commission deal. I've been, you know, and it's like, wow. And like, I'm going to take all of that history from dad and give it to my son. Like, so dude, when I wear it, it's motivating, you know? And like, but I also feel like it costs a good chunk, right? It's like $15,000. It's not the most expensive watch, but like, dude, I felt it.
Yeah.
I felt it when I purchased it. And I think when you reward yourself or when you want something to mean something, you got to feel it somehow. I don't mean it has to be financial. You can feel something by putting sweat equity into it too, right? Like, go build a barn out in the back of your house. Like, you'll feel that, right? Yep. Like, but there's also a financial feeling because the work behind everything we've done to be able to afford that in the first place, like, felt rewarding. But either way you slice it, I felt it. But, dude, every day that I put it on, I think about it and where I'm going and what I'm doing. And I also think about, like, yeah, what am I doing? Where am I going? And what am I doing? And what is it all for? Mm-hmm. And why do I want to do it? And, like, dude, it drives me. And it's like, honest, that watch, this watch has made me money.
Fuck yeah.
This watch has put more attention to my direction and my intentionality and my work ethic. And it's allowed me to be absent of emotionally responding to whether I want to go somewhere or do something or not.
Yep.
I go, like, I had it on the trip this week, right? Like, dude, I was waking up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to get my gym workout done to then navigate down to the conference. Cause I was staying with some guys that were about 45 minutes away, but in order to get there on time, dude, I just had to get up earlier. Yep. I don't want to do that. Yep. You know, but like Ben Newman talks about standard over feelings, you know, like it's the same thing that I say, only like that's his phrase. My phrase is like, hey, get emotional about your goal. Don't get emotional about the process, you know, but I had it on me, you know, and then like, hey, we're going to be speaking at Empower Field Tuesday in front of 300 or 400 realtors, right? Like Ben Newman's keynoting it. I'm opening up for that.
For those that don't know, Empower Field is, I mean, it's where the fucking Broncos play.
It's a huge venue, you know, and I'll be wearing that watch. And it's like all of this history I get to give to my son one day.
Yeah.
You know, and but until that day, like it's perspective for me of like what I'm doing and what I want to represent and the impact that I want to have. Dude, it allows me to just lean on it a bit for direction.
Yep. Well, and that's where, you know, just speaking financially again, like something like that is so beneficial because there's a lot of people, bro. And
Not to cut you off. No. So what I was getting at with that, right, is like you got to be you.
Yes.
With everything that you do. Like you, like these things make me tick.
Yes. Yep.
Right? Like you got to be you with how you want to execute. And mine's always been more that production driven than saving.
Well, and there's a lot of people, man, to where it's like they may have the same capability, but they're so wrapped up in like, oh, we need this for our business and this for our business and just overspending on shit where it's like, hey, motherfucker, you can bootstrap that yet. You're not at a point to where like, yeah, you're spending money on your business. That doesn't mean that's a good move. You can bootstrap this. There's a lot of shit that doesn't need to be outsourced. There's a lot of places you could be resourceful. And if you were just paying attention to your shit, you would realize, man, fuck, I could have the fucking Rolex.
Well, yeah.
And you're benefiting from it way more.
But that's why it's so powerful to be a subject matter expert and to really be in your craft because, dude, you and I are out GoProing it.
Yep.
You and I are out flying drones.
Yep.
You made our intros and outros to our Living in Denver channel, right? Like, you operate our podcast. Like, you up, like, we have a podcaster that downloads everything and runs it. So, like, we don't have to do any editing. All the music, the intros, the outros are all built into it. This will be uploaded within 20 minutes of doing it. Like,
and some, it's that. Someday we will have a team doing all that shit for
maybe,
us.
Maybe, or fuck them. Because then they show up late or something's wrong with it or they weren't as pretty. Like, it's like, so it's like being able, but this is what we talk about.
We'll if you can't navigate, be able to do it.
If you can't navigate the level you're at, how are you going to navigate the level 100%. Moving forward? And this is where like you get very good at like, hey, time best spent. Yep. Do we need someone to run a podcast or does it cause more headache than anything? I would much rather have somebody run edits and make 25 clips out of a podcast.
It would
post
be nice to not sit here and hit fucking buttons the whole time back and forth. So
yeah, but at the same time, we have to rely on that person to be here on time.
Yeah.
Then we have to pay it versus
but if they
like,
don't show up, hey, we fucking got it. Someday.
So in my opinion, it'd be like, hey, if we're going to add someone to the podcast, we're adding an editor that throws content out there. We're not adding someone to hit a button.
Or one person.
That's like both. But I don't even want someone fucking sitting in here. It fucking bothers me.
Does it?
Because I don't think it's like, dude, you can show me how to do it and you and I can trade and I'll hit the fucking buttons. Because I just don't think it's like, I don't think financially it's worth having somebody sitting here.
Not right now, no.
To press a button. No, not ever. Now I'm just going to ride this fucking thing forever.
Okay, I'll let you push this thing one fucking episode.
But the discussion we're having in real time is like a discussion you and I have.
Yeah.
As far as like where money goes, decisions that we make. And it's like, okay, where's money best spent right now?
That's the important part.
And it's like, I'd much rather have somebody making content.
Yep.
And if someone's sitting here
pressing
a button, they're not editing content.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, man, so it's figuring out like, hey, what's the next move? What's the next play? But if you're not proficient in what you do and you don't understand what the next play requires of someone, like you don't really know how to make a decision.
Same thing with your finances, bro.
And by the way, when you're broke, when you're first starting, you're broke, figure out how to do all of it at whatever level you can be proficient at. Like, we talked about this on podcast years ago. Eli Googled shit.
Yeah.
And how do you run a podcast? Yeah. How many people have reached out to us before? Like, hey, dude, what's your... Like, we have little... And by the way, yes, we help. Okay? I will talk shit to you. Okay? But yes, we send you files that Eli put together where it shows you all of our equipment.
Yep.
And where we purchased it from. You know, okay, cool. So you can just go grab whatever you need. But at the end of the day, it's like, you don't need me.
Yep.
Or Eli, just like you can just go Google shit. Like we Googled and watched YouTube videos and we saw Jocko set up. We saw Joe Rogan set up. Mm-hmm. There's a couple behind the scene videos that they had done years ago. Then we started looking at the equipment they were using and like we just did recon and put it together. And this is where like when you're starting out, like if you're not in it to be as gritful as possible because you can't afford certain things, you know, hey, you're not going to make it. And dude, go ahead and do that because... Yeah. You're also going to learn along the way, and I still think it's good to be proficient at your craft, whatever it is, because if someone comes in here right now and wants to be our button pusher or our whatever, and they have a certain, like, price to them, do we know whether it's within means of where it should be or whether you're full of shit? Even down to, like, editing, dude, like, when I was at with that fitness company, my cousin Reese was coming in, and man, he had done incredible stuff with Red Bull, and he explained the entire blueprint to me as far as, like, what things should cost and what things entail. So if someone tries to pull the sheet over our heads, you can't.
Yeah,
no. I did years with my cousin. So it's good having some of that street smarts as far as like what things entail, just to make sure no one's
robbing. Dude, and as you grow and scale and you do become a bigger...
You got to press that button again,
I know. You do become an easier target, man. People will fuck you over if you don't know what you're looking at and what you're doing. And it's like... Just watch a video from Grant Cardone of him just checking his bank accounts. And he has people that manage all his accounts. He has people that do transfers when there should be transfers, that do all that shit for him.
When he
puts a dollar in, there's people that do all this stuff, but he's checking that thing every other day, every day. And he knows, and he called it out. He was like, oh, this should have happened. I know I got someone being lazy over in accounting over here. And it's like, man, when you outsource, try and grow too big, too fast, you don't have that foundation, man.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's like... Hey, Will, like, I don't know how to do, I can't do this, I can't do that. Like, well, what can you do? Because we didn't start out with a podcast like this. We didn't start out with a YouTube channel. We started out on our phones going live on Facebook. By the way, we're going live on Facebook today. We still do some of the original fundamentals that people enjoy, and we still try to bring relevant content to everybody at whatever level it is, whether they're listening to podcasts or they're looking for homes on YouTube or we're just doing stuff with our sphere on Instagram and on Facebook. But it's like, hey, if you can't do certain things, what can you do?
Yeah.
Focus on what you can do or what you have the capacity to learn right now and do that and execute that. And over time, you will be prepared for more. And when you are prepared for more, then you grow into it.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. Man, not only like just understanding that we have to manage the small things before getting big things, but finding joy and excitement in having a small following, finding joy in being fucking broke. Dude, I swear to God, my entire adult life when I was not only broke, bro, like 100 grand in debt. Like I was struggling to get to zero. I knew I was grateful for that struggle because I'm like, hey, bro, if you can go from negative 100,000 to zero, like $0 is what I was aiming for, you're going to learn a fuck ton. And I'm like, man, I know what my financial goals look like. And if I can do this with negative money, man, I'm sure as fuck going to be able to be successful with money.
Yeah.
So I actually took pride in it and was like excited to read and learn and go
through
the fucking
grind. I
like
that word, pride. I like that you said I took pride in it because I don't think it's joyful.
Yeah.
I don't think you're like, hey, happy Hanukkah. What are you joyful for? Oh, hey, I'm negative 100. Oh, I'm, it's like, no. Joyful's hard.
I'm naturally optimistic. But
I think it's just that whole silver lining thing. It's just being able to, like, what lens are you seeing things through, right? Like, what's that silver lining? What's the lesson that I can learn from something? And, hey, how is this going to better prepare me and make me more adequate? And the other side, the will side, it ain't changing.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So. Are you going to face this and navigate and create a skill set that can get you through this? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to sulk and victimize yourself and then just sit in your own poopy diaper?
Either way, you're in the same shit.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, whether you're going to find joy or pride in it or not, if you can, great.
Yeah.
If you can find a silver lining, great. More importantly, like, find yourself. Like, what do you have within you? And, hey, are you gonna nut up and get after it?
Yep.
Or, man, you're going to sit back and just point fingers, even if you're pointing fingers at yourself, like, yeah, okay, it's my fault, but like, you're just gonna sit in your own poopy diaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't like it.
As time goes on and things change, man, and it's like, when you're fucking on top, understand it, like, you're not always gonna be on top. There's gonna be more hard times coming, and then when you're going through hard times, hey, if you're doing some shit about it, you're not always.
Yeah, and I think, like, on top as far as like you versus you, correct? Like, correct. Not on top compared to other people, but on top as far as like, man, you're on top and life is amazing and things are going well, but then, like, hey, you have a couple hiccups or setbacks, or not even that. Some of them are like self-initiated. Like with you and I, you know, we're on top, right? Like for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like we voluntarily put ourselves right back at the bottom because we're ambitious for more.
Yeah.
We feel we have the capacity for more. So we go out and seek more. And then we realize, like, oh, man, we could be doing so much more. Like, here's the next 9 things that we got to be doing.
Yep.
And everyone else that's doing this, we're now the smallest person on this scale. But, dude, we're going to grow into that. And before you know it, like, we're the biggest person, biggest people at that scale. And I like that. I like having a mission. I like keeping focused and having a mission. I don't like
the complacency.
Man, I kind of compare myself or like other guys from my background to like German Shepherds or Mountain Walls, right? Like, not that we're that hairy, some of us are. Not that we're that athletic or as good looking as a Mountain Wall, some of us are. More so, like, people love those dogs, right? They're amazing. They're romanticized nowadays. But if you don't give that dog a mission, it will dig holes, jump the fence, and fuck your neighbor's dog. Like, that's what those dogs do, bro.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and it's like, so for me, it's like, having a mission and direction and keeping focused, you know, like, it's, I'm better with that. I don't, like, Will doesn't need, not that I'm going to go fuck my neighbor's dog, but Will doesn't need no mission.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that I don't have downtime. It's not that I can't fall asleep or something. Like, don't get fucking weird on me when you're listening to this. It's not that. It's that I do better when I have direction. And it's not because I'm negating to identify something. It's because it matches my ambition. Like, with my whole heart saying this, I feel like I have the capacity for more. I feel like I want and have ambition for more. And when I mean more, I mean more influence for others. Like, I love brokers. They piss me off. But I love realtors, man. I love helping them. I love helping build their future. I love talking business, man. Like, it's great to navigate that chess game for ourselves and for others and to create more influence for them. And more, you know, credibility and influence for us. And, like, no, I genuinely want to do that. And I have the ambition. And we're starting to get a good grasp on what it takes to be at that level. And, dude, I don't go to golf games. I don't go to golf matches, whatever they call it. I don't go to birthday parties all the time. I do miss out on things. But, like, I do take pride in missing your birthday you invite me to because we've got things going on. And because it forces me to prioritize the people that are super important in our life to make sure I can commit to that. And then other things, man, like, I just can't make all the barbecues and different stuff because we're on a mission. And but, dude, I take pride in that. Like, dude, I think it also comes from, like, the Marine Corps infantry, bro. You know, or, like, being a part of, like, division schools and or, like, you know, when you're training Marines, bro, that we're getting ready to deploy. Like, we had, when people would come to division schools, It was your leadership. It was the best of the best from the Marine Corps infantry that's coming through there, man. And they're going to go back and train their unit with whatever you're training them with, and they're deploying. It could not have been more important. And we had training days. We did not have Saturdays and Sundays. We had training day 1 through training day 45.
Yeah.
And if other units were using certain ranges, well, we had to schedule a range to go use that range for training at its first availability. And if that meant it was a Sunday,
yep.
It's a Sunday. If it meant it was a Saturday, it was a Saturday. But, like, the bond we had with instructors that were just in it like that. I can't remember. JT was here like a year back. We were talking about that. And we did like 3 or 4 classes back to back to back to back. Insane, bro. Like, I can't tell you how much. I don't know how I still have a liver from Red Bull or my kidneys or whatever it was. But, like, dude, it was a grind. And it's like, it wasn't just checking the box and showing up and, like, whatever people's interpretation of instructing, it was not that. It was, like, proficient with direction. It was guided. It was professional. It was intense. And we're involved because when we're going through those big downtown mount areas and training Marines, you're out there shooting them. And you got to be better than them. You got to teach them, man. Like, you got to throw everything you can at them to prepare them. And I took a lot of pride in, like, yeah, dude, I didn't go out to downtown San Diego all the time. I didn't go to L.A. I wasn't staying the night hanging out with chicks all the time. Like, I was training Marines. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was honorable. It was prideful. It wasn't always fun. I was tired. I was hungry. I was fatigued. I was frustrated. I would feel ceilings as a leader. Like, I couldn't articulate something to a Marine. And I felt limited because it's like, why can't I get through to this guy? And you have to take ownership of it. You can't just call a Marine an idiot because he's, when you see his behavior, he's wanting to learn. He's there to learn. You're just not getting through to him. So you have other instructors talk to him, or you, like, you try to create a scenario from a different direction. So, like, now you're navigating, increasing your own capacity to be a better leader, better influencer. And, like, that directly correlates to what we're doing in real estate. And ironically, it takes the same form of sacrifice in life to be able to set the stage to have that much influence and to just be productive to get yourself where you want to go. But, like, that's what my ambition is. And the day we're done doing this is the day I don't have an ambition for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, man, and, you know, with that training, it's like there's just level of life or death to it, right? And it's like, what I wish people would do is apply that same sort of tenacity to their own fucking life. Because, I mean, when you boil it down, it's like,
you just can't relate to it.
You're not getting shot. But understanding that, hey, this is my life. I got one shot at fucking doing this thing.
It's more like this, man. It's like opportunities can die, right? And, like,
yeah,
opportunities don't just go away. They go to someone else.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're not going to do it, someone is. And then they're going to reap the benefit of that, right? So if you're not going to step up and take charge of the opportunity that you want to have, someone's going to do it.
Fuck yeah.
And then opportunity is going to go away. You know, like, how many times I've heard somebody talk about how, like, they had the same idea as Jeff Bezos.
Yep.
Sure you did. Maybe you did. But for whatever reason, like, you didn't take action and you didn't do it and you didn't put yourself where you needed to be. And then, okay, but Jeff did. So then that's his.
You're not taking it serious.
And then you can take that to the micro level, right? Like, you want to be a part of, you want to be a student body president. You want to be the captain of your high school football team. Like, that opportunity is going to go to someone else and that will affect you, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no one's getting shot at. But your future, or what you'd like your future to be, or opportunities, like, yeah, they go to someone else or they die completely, right? Yeah. So it's like,
and the
think of it from that sense.
Yeah, just taking it serious, man. And, like, the way I look at it is, like, we obviously don't have a finish line. I don't think there's a finish line in the world that exists for us. Mm-mm. However, I know
I don't think I desire a finish line either.
No, yeah, same. But I'm like, I know there's a destination that I'm trying to get to, right? And every time I stop and, like, let's pretend it's a marathon, but we don't know how long we're going. We don't know how many miles it is. We just know we're in a race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time I stop to tie my fucking shoes, every time I stop to, like, take a rest, it's like,
You're breaking your momentum, you're breaking your mindset.
Dude, you're just extending it, you know? And it's like, that's how, like, our day-to-day, you know, that's how we look at it, where it's like, man, we're, like, super patient as fuck, but legitimately act every day like we're trying to, like, accomplish this shit tonight.
And it's just us.
Yeah.
We just have the ambition for it. Like, it's interesting when people throw us unsolicited advice. I don't know if you get it. I get it. Not a lot, but, like, a decent amount. And I'm just like, yo, bro.
You mean, you like, your, let me guess, this might be, hey, Will, like, You ever try just like taking a break or just it's like kinda chilling like that, out a little
like,
bit?
Hey, just hope you get time for kiddos. Or,
yeah, yeah.
And it's like, or hey, man, like love what you're doing. Like,
what do you do for fun?
How do you recharge? How do you reset? What do you, you know? And it's like, so they're almost like seeking, like they want to be like you. In a sense, because they want to accomplish stuff. And it's like, man, like just do what you got to do. Reset how you reset. Like I reset every day. I go to bed. Mm-hmm. Yep. I see my kids for a couple hours every night. We play, you know, we are our family, like my family life. We get along. We like each other. Mm-hmm. We all go to bed. I get up the next day and like get after.
Good
I don't
to go.
Fucking know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, but what about the days? Like you just don't want to. Like I can honestly say I've gotten past that.
Yeah.
Cause like I'm so fixed on like, making sure my fucking eyes open. I got boogers in my eyes, right? And I'm like, I'm kind of like waking up like, well, let me drag my ass to the bathroom, like brush my teeth and like get the dry mouth taste out of my mouth. And like, I you know, wash my face and like cool. And like, all right, cool, man. Like, let me get a couple tunes going and get some pre-workout because I got to get to the gym. And yep. I'm at least in that realm of like getting my day going. And I used to have trouble with this, but I've gotten past deciding whether I'm going or not, or whether I'm getting up or not. Like I just get up.
Yeah.
And I start going through my routine. So I think that's why like your routine is super important, especially in the beginning of your day, man. Like if you can't get that right, it's hard, you know? So like, man, you can't quit on your morning. You can't quit in general. Like if you can just remove the option of quitting and take that off the table, we can talk about everything else.
Yep.
But if you haven't taken that off the table, and that's an option for you, that's dangerous. And then bring that down to the micro level. So when we're talking about like not quitting on 1,000 people you lead and $10 million a year that you make, like let's just talk about yourself here and your own day, like just getting your day going. If getting it going is an option, you're going to like it won't, it's broke.
Yeah. You're leaving it up to how you fucking feel that day. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can't do
half
that.
Half the time I'm so tired, I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel until I'm probably three quarters through pre-workout, driving to the gym, and it's like, well, it's too late now. Anyone want to ask Eli what Will's like on pre-workout and he doesn't go to the fucking gym?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like that douchebag from Sausage Party, right? Like, hey, bro.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Rah, 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 rah. Like, fucking hell, dude. Like, and I identified that, like, because there have been a couple times where, like, I would, you know, I'd work out at, like, 8:30 or 9 in the morning, and it was just too late because my phone would start ringing come 8:30, 9 o'clock, and people needed stuff, and then I'm prioritizing that, so I would walk out of the gym earlier or not go at all because I'm halfway to the gym in my truck. I end up sitting in my truck for 45 minutes handling phone calls, and I'm on pre-workout, and then I'm pissed off at the world because I didn't get my gym in, so then I'm, you know, like inadvertently yelling at Eli because I'm on fucking pre-workout or whatever, and it's like, hey, that's a problem. Get up earlier, and like even though it sucks to get up early, you know what sucks more than getting up early? Being on pre-workout, not going to the gym.
Yeah, it does suck.
Yeah, it, yeah, does. So it just, you know, but again, like standard over feelings, yeah, you just got to, but at some point, like now I'm used to it, right? So now I go to the gym at 7. I don't go crazy, crazy early. I go 7 to 8, cool. But I've also prepared that mindset to when, like when I travel, and I'm in Arizona this week, and I got to go at 5:30. Well, I went all week.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Like, yeah, not fun, but I knew, hey, if I can get up and get some pre-workout in me and go get the gym done and get some cardio, my mental clarity and energy for the day of me presenting is going to be better. I'm better for an audience. Mm-hmm. I'm a better representation of myself. Mm-hmm. And what matters right now? My sleep? Does me sleeping in longer matter more? Or does the how I represent myself to the public matter more?
Yep.
Well, I want to be a good product. People are taking their time to sit and come listen to us teach them and influence them or whatever you want to call it. Like, I want to make sure it's worth their damn time, dude. And
And that's the taking pride in what you do, man. If you didn't take pride in what you do and wanted to offer this complete package, you would have slept in, you know, and it that bleeds through. So it's like, guys, no matter what level you're at, no matter if you got 100 followers or a million followers or whatever, taking pride in what you do matters and it bleeds through. People can
it'll help you grow, but like, here's what's really cool. It also never goes away. As you guys, and we're, you know, financially and socially not as big as a lot of people, but we're getting there, and we've definitely had some growth for ourselves, right? But it never goes away, as in a sense of like what it takes as far as managing yourself to just get everything off the ground and get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get it going and you're successful and people are recognizing that, you still have to slow down and manage yourself, even when you're at scale. Yeah. it still boils down to like how well you're managing yourself and operating. Yeah. And I promise you, it actually gets harder. When I was first starting this, sleeping in a pantry, studying for real estate, all I had was time. Mm-hmm. I had plenty of time for me. I didn't have clients.
Yeah.
Singular all focus. I had was me. Now that can be scary because you got to fix you and you've got to grow. So there's some difficulty there. But the reality is I had plenty of time to just focus on me. Now, as we get busier and busier and busier, we got to be better and better and better at how we allocate our time, because what little time I do get for myself has to hit that much harder and has to be that much more productive. Mm-hmm. So I'm still working on me while I've got all of these other things going on, because at some point, if you negate that and you lose yourself, this will all house of cards, man. It will come tumbling down. So you got to get the same level of impact for yourself in with that much less time, which means you've got to get up earlier. You've got to not be bullshitting at the gym. You got to get in there your 45 minutes or your hour, and it needs to be extremely productive and intense. So it's meaningful. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to get after it. And then I got to make sure I got time for family. Like, okay, I got 2 hours for my kids at night because I get home at this time, and I've got this time to, like, okay. So then when you're there, you got to super compartmentalize that and be there. So you're maximizing those 90 minutes with your kiddos that some people don't get in 4 hours with their kids.
Yep.
Right. Like, it's things like that. And then it's also like just being forgiving of yourself of like times when you can't, like, you know, I was out of town this week.
Yep.
Presenting like, yeah, I fucking miss my kids, man. I there's zero times I want to be away from my kids.
Yeah.
Zero. Yep. Right. But it's honorable, and I want to show them, and I want to lead from the front what's possible when you're chasing your dreams. Mm-hmm. And I can't just talk about it. Mm-hmm. I've got to go out there and I'm going to see that. And even though I don't want to be away from my kids, it is productive for me to be away from my kids. So my kids can witness what it takes to get after it. They will have a taste buds for what it looks like when you're really getting after it and you're really committed. Right. Yeah. So like, dude, those things are super important, but it's the perspective and the lens that you see things from. It's the standard over feelings, and it's being able to manage it at your level. Mm-hmm. So when you get to a bigger level, not only are you managing it for others better and teaching them those things, but you still can manage yourself with less time available.
Yep.
So it doesn't come crumbling down.
And right? All of that is because you have a system and a process. Maybe it's not written down, but you've got a process throughout your day of when you wake up, what happens after. You're on autopilot before your brain even has a chance to think about what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
And then, man, that just sets up the whole rest of your day.
Dude, if you can just get out of your fucking house, you're alleviating so many excuses and so many opportunities to like not get your day started, right? Yep. So like working from home, working out from home, if you can do it, I do that sometimes. Cool. But for me, it's like, it's a little bit harder. Like there's some convenience factor to it, which is awesome. But those convenience factors also limit you at times, at least for me. And I know me. So this is where you gotta boil it down to like, you gotta do what works for you. Eli's really good at saving money.
It could be a Jewish thing. I don't know what gave you that idea. I'm fucking not.
I'm just loading a Jewish joke.
I
spend some, but I focus on making more. And hey, the watches that I have, the cars that I have, that I own, I have titles to those cars. I own them. Mm-hmm. They also hold value and gain value because the used car market right now, especially with exotic cars, they're going up in value.
Yep.
My watches have gone up 8-9 grand since. Yep. Not that I'm selling them, but it's just nice that they hold or gain value. But so I'm not out wasting money, but I also know like I gotta be me. Like maybe some of you think purchasing some of the cars that I purchased is stupid or it's not productive, but it's productive for me because I know where my mind goes when I turn off my phone and I get in that car and I cruise. I've been getting in cars, dude, since high school. Man, I grew up on old muscle cars. Mm-hmm. I bought every one of them. I worked hard for them. But I know where my mind goes. In between deployments, man, I'd hit Pacific Coast Highway. And I know where my mind and my clarity goes when I get in a car I super enjoy and I cruise. It's productive for me. And this is where, like, whether you wear a suit or not, whether you buy a car or not, like, whatever, you got to know you and what works for you. And you can't lie about it.
Yep.
So like all my friends that go golfing and say it's good for business, is it or not? Like, is there real conversion, or are you just saying that because you like to go golf and it looks productive? You have to be honest with yourself. And, you know, when you and I were first grinding, no, I didn't have that car. Mm-hmm. So I also like the luxuries that I have now that I enjoy, one I can afford. Secondly, I had to get myself to a point where I could then afford them, but I still allow those to fuel me. So when we're talking about saving money, spending money, managing yourself, managing others, you still have to create systems and processes within the scope that works and motivates you and thrive, right? Mm-hmm. It can't just be someone else's plan because, man, someone might tell you that, like, Dave Ramsey might tell you that car I bought is stupid. Well, yep. Fuck him.
Yep, yep. But you know yourself.
You know what he won't say? You can say that that's not productive, Dave Ramsey, and you can ask me to put money in an envelope and hang it on my wall. Okay. But you know what he can't say? He can't say that I'm stupid. He can't say that I'm not productive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? And that's what it, like, you got to get out there and just, like, be accountable and take ownership mm-hmm. for yourself and how you go about it. But you just have to have the self-awareness of what's working, what's not working, and be honest about it. And in the beginning, yeah, I got rid of all my cars. I slept in a fucking pantry. I didn't even have a bed. That's right? Like, so you got to have enough discipline to get to let it all go and regain it back one day when you're there. But you've got to be able to, like, muster up that grit and that ability to get through it from you. Like, these cars aren't my identity.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like a relationship or any, it's not my identity. Like I could go bare bone, man. I could I could just raw dog life, bro. be more than okay. But I do appreciate the things that we're able to do. But just make sure you're being yourself within the framework of what you're learning.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, and understand yourself and take that time. If you haven't taken the time to learn yourself, probably got to go do some hard shit and learn what happens when you're going through some hard shit.
Yeah, you know? But until then, take the time to listen to Hash.
That's right.
Exit out on this on these awesome bars.
That's right.
As we get the hell out of here, you guys enjoy the rest of your week. We appreciate the support and the time, and we will catch you guys on the next podcast.
All right. Day $1.00 out. How was that?
Your tone was good, but you just make it an event to say out. You know what I mean? Versus like.
Let's hear it.
All right, guys. Out.
Nothing I can never take a day, y'all.